Something massive has just been uncovered beneath the Great Pyramids of Egypt. And a lot of people are talking about this right now. But here's the thing, okay? Nobody, and I mean nobody, not one person that I've seen anyway, has been able to connect the dots and place them in the bigger picture like I'm about to do right now. You see, this discovery is much bigger than anybody can ever imagine. And I found some information that nobody seems to be talking about. So make sure you watch this video all the way to the end and share it with everybody you know. All right, let's cut to it, everybody. Scientists using state-of-the-art radar technology and cosmic ray imaging have just confirmed something absolutely incredible. There's a massive underground city beneath the Pyramid of Giza. And I'm not talking about a small, tiny city. I'm talking about thousands of feet below the surface, almost a mile below the surface, way deeper than archaeologists have ever been able to go. They've found huge, perfectly crafted cylindrical shafts plunging straight down 2,000 to 4,000 feet, depending on the source, into the earth. And spiraling around these giant shafts are passageways, ramps, and they're leading to gigantic cube-shaped chambers. This isn't just symbolic mumbo-jumbo, everybody. According to these reports, according to these scientists, this is real, and it's actually concrete proof of an advanced subterranean civilization. Now, mainstream archaeologists, they seem to be panicking, you know, they're discounting this, but not all of them. It is in the news, it's pretty big news right now. The mainstream media and mainstream archaeologists are trying to dismiss these discoveries, hoping that you'll ignore them, trying to just push them under the rug because it doesn't fit with their narrative. But here's the thing, everybody. This isn't the only underground complex that we've found, okay? They're actually all over the world. Every single part of the world has either legends or tales of underground cities, underground chambers, underground tunnels, okay? And we're going to get into some of those today, and we're going to connect the dots to the bigger picture because everything's connected. This isn't just some random thing. This is connected, and it's, frankly, it's bigger than anybody could imagine. So let's backtrack a little bit. You remember Phil Schneider? The same Phil Schneider who gave his testimony about the Dulce deep underground military base. Ultimately, he gave his life for this secret. He exposed this secret and his life was taken for it. Now, these deep underground military bases in Dulce, New Mexico, as well as other places around the country, he went down in there where he personally encountered these strange beings, tall grays, he called them, deep beneath the earth. About the same distance, mind you, keep that in mind, as these tunnels that were just discovered under the pyramids. And he warned about this decades ago. He warned about these hidden underground cities that have been there for a very, very long time, and governments known about them, and in certain cases, the governments have repurposed them and used them for their own, you know, experiments and stuff like that. And if you do enough research, you'll come to find out that the Dulce base isn't the only underground base, okay? There are many underground bases. They're called deep underground military bases, DUMs, and they're all over the country. So you might be asking at this point, what does this have to do with these discoveries in Egypt? Is it the same thing? Is it connected in any way? It absolutely is, okay? And we're going to connect these dots, so just bear with me here. Think about it. Why do we find these similar ancient tunnels and subterranean cities all over the planet? Everywhere. Take Peru, for instance. You got the mysterious Chincana. They're tunnels beneath Cusco carved with impossible precision. They are stretching miles and miles under the Andes Mountains. Some accounts even say they go under the Andes, they go all the way to Antarctica and through all of South America, and they're huge, they're massive. Big enough for giants to go through, okay? Keep that in mind, because this is part of the story we're telling here. Whistleblowers and researchers do confirm there are massive tunnels under Peru. How far do they go? It's hard to say because they've been basically covered up and they were hidden by the Catholic Church when the Catholic Church came in and colonized the area, okay? There was actually churches that were built directly over the entrances to these Chincana and sealed up. Why? I think it's obvious. We know that the early Catholic Church believed in the Nephilim, they believed in the giants, they believed in the fallen angels as reported in Genesis 6. However, something happened within the Catholic Church where they shifted their position. If you read all the early church fathers, they all believed in the Nephilim and the giants and that they were supernatural creatures, all these things. But something happened, they shifted their opinion, and now the official stance of the Catholic Church is that the Nephilim were just people, which doesn't make any sense. They're not just people. That's thoroughly debunked. The text doesn't even say anything that they're just people. The text literally calls them B'nai HaElohim, which is not a term used for people, it's a term used for angels, okay? Because the Bible actually doesn't say that the Nephilim were people. If you go back and you read the Bible in its original Hebrew form, it says the Nephilim were created by the B'nai HaElohim. The B'nai HaElohim are not men, they're not people, they're not godly sons of Seth. Who are they? They are angels. Every single time the term B'nai HaElohim is used in the Old Testament, it is referring to angels. Every single time. So the Catholic Church, they wanted to cover it up saying, oh, that the Nephilim were just people. They are not just people. We're going to get more into that in just a second. So now let's move on to Antarctica. What's hidden beneath the ice in Antarctica? You have Operation High Jump. You have the Nazis that fled from Germany at the end of World War II in their submarines to Antarctica. And, you know, supposedly they went in these underground tunnels under the ice with their submarines and hid from the, you know, hid from the Americans. And that's why Operation High Jump happened. They were searching for these lost Nazi subs. Brave whistleblowers confirm hidden structures beneath the ice. The global elite have done everything in their power to conceal this. They don't want people to know what's under the ice or under the ground in Antarctica. And then you have Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, where they discovered bizarre objects, tunnels, and strange, mysterious, let's just say, signals and waves coming out of from underground there, okay? So there's something underground in Skinwalker Ranch. There's something underground all over that area of Utah and Arizona. These deep underground military bases that were repurposed by the military, by the way. They've been there for thousands of years. They were just discovered and repurposed. They're all connected. Everything's connected here. Specifically at Skinwalker Ranch, whatever's underground there is causing all sorts of paranormal phenomenon, and the government really doesn't want you to know about it, all right? And think about it. Paranormal phenomenon is associated with these underground societies, with these underground tunnels, with these underground structures. Think about Egypt, okay? The whole culture of Egypt revolved around paranormal activity, okay? There's no coincidence in the links between the paranormal activity of whatever's underground there and whatever's happening on the surface. But we'll get into that more in just a minute, because there's a connection between the Great Pyramid of Giza and specific paranormal events linked directly to Aleister Crowley himself, who did a ritual inside the pyramid. And we'll get into that in a second, but it's all connected. Everything we're talking about here is going to be connected to itself, and I'll wrap it up at the end in a nice little ball, okay? So there's not going to be any stones unturned. We're going to really dig into this one. So every single ancient culture from around the globe, from the Hopi tribes of North America to the Hindus in India, everywhere, all throughout Asia, up to Siberia, in Europe, basically every single place in the entire world, they have these stories, these legends, these myths, so-called myths, about advanced underground civilizations. You have the legends of Shambhala. You have the legends of Atlantis, which is all connected to this as well. They describe powerful beings, okay, living beneath our feet, ruling these underground cities. Is it a coincidence that every single culture has the same story? No, it's impossible. These aren't myths. These are memories. These are ancient recollections of a global empire, the Empire of Atlantis, that existed during the days of Noah, before the flood of Noah. This is the Empire of the Giants and the Empire of the Fallen Angels that the world calls the Empire of the Gods, but we call it the Evil Empire that was destroyed by the flood, okay? So there's two different ways of looking at it. The New Agers and the world themselves, they see this Empire of the Gods as a positive thing. They look back on it and they want to bring it back, because to them, these gods, which we know as fallen angels, were giving humanity secret knowledge and all this information that they were never meant to have in exchange for what? Well, in exchange for power, in exchange for the ability to rule over the humans, okay? This Empire of the Giants, they were literally being ruled over by fallen angels who were subjugating them with under an oppressive rule that basically was so oppressive that God himself had to send the flood to save his creation from these disgusting abominations. Mainstream archaeologists and the History Channel and, you know, basically everybody pushed this narrative about ancient aliens, building these gigantic structures around the globe. The, you know, the pyramids, Stonehenge, Baalbek, Göbekli Tepe, all these places all through South America, all the ancient ruins, all the Cyclopean architecture. Here's the thing, guys. It's a distraction, and it's actually inaccurate, because when you look at it through the lens of the Bible, these ancient aliens, they might technically be called aliens by just the term alien being not from Earth. But fallen angels are not from Earth, okay? We know in the Bible that the fallen angels, that all angels, fallen and holy angels, they were there when God created the Earth. So by the very definition, of an angel, okay, right? They're not human. They're not from Earth. That makes them what? Extraterrestrial, okay? I'm not saying they're space aliens. I'm saying they are angelic beings that appear to be space aliens and that make themselves out to be space aliens. Why? Because they know that if you convince the world that they are space aliens, well, then you can do whatever you want. Because people are going to look at space aliens differently than, say, angelic beings that we know are under the authority of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, everybody. We're just scratching the surface right now, and let's get a little bit deeper right now. So all these ancient ruins, all these Cyclopean architecture, everything that we've been talking about, they weren't built by little green men from another planet. No, they were built by the Nephilim, by the giant hybrids that come straight out of the pages of the Bible. You don't even have to look at the book of Enoch to know that the giants walked the earth. It's in Genesis 6. All right, so let's take it a step further and we'll connect some dots with Aleister Crowley, okay? Aleister Crowley, he was literally called the most wicked man alive during his day, and for good reason. He called himself the Antichrist 666. And Aleister Crowley didn't just dabble in black magic and the dark arts. No, he performed these sinister rituals in public. And he was famous for doing so, and he had a lot of famous people who followed him, okay? And one night, he actually went inside of the Great Pyramid of Giza, inside, into the king's chamber, and did a ritual, deliberately contacting these ancient entities that he openly called demonic. And one of these entities actually appeared to him. He called himself Awas, or something like that, who gave Crowley this forbidden knowledge and dictated to him the book of the law. What's contained in it is the secrets straight out of the days of Noah, okay? The days of Noah, this is the Atlantean kingdom. This is the kingdom that was ruled by the fallen angels and the Nephilim. All this information was under the pyramids this whole time, and Crowley knew that, and he went and he contacted them because he wanted to get it out. Aleister Crowley was directly tapping into this empire of the gods, empire of the giants, the fallen angels, and the lost knowledge. All the demonic beings that ruled the earth before Noah's flood that were wiped clean when God cleansed the earth, this is the stuff that Crowley was trying to access, okay? This stuff. And Crowley didn't keep this knowledge to himself, no. He spread it worldwide. He created a global occult movement that was centered around this twisted law. So what did the entity tell him? So the entity told them the new law of the land that's going to overtake the law of the Lord, right? And what is that? It is the do as thou will shall be the whole of the law, okay? That's right, folks. He literally channeled this demonic wisdom straight from the same Nephilim entities who once enslaved humanity before the flood of Noah. And guess who loves Crowley's philosophy today? Can you guess? Well, yeah, you got it right. The Hollywood elites, the politicians, the global elites, mainstream society as a whole. Everybody's embracing this do as thou will mindset. It's bringing our human existence back into the days of Noah ideologically. And most people don't even realize where this do-as-thou-will mindset comes from. It comes from the ancient times, from the days of Atlantis, from the very place that was buried and destroyed with the flood, okay? This do-as-thou-will ideology is literally dragging humanity back to the darkness of the ancient times. And nobody seems to understand why it seems like the world is going the way it is, right? So, all those massive stone structures, all these ancient ruins, they're known as Cyclopean architecture, okay? That's just what they're called by scholars worldwide. They're built from stones that are weighing hundreds and thousands of tons. They're found all over Egypt. They're found in South America. They're found underwater in Japan, all over Europe, basically every place in the world. They weren't random. They weren't left by humans, okay? They were created by the Nephilim civilizations that once controlled the world. They're pointing directly back to Atlantis. The Atlantis was actually the capital city of the fallen angels' empire. You think that it's a coincidence that every ancient culture has stories about giants that are teaching humans forbidden knowledge? No, absolutely not. It can't be a coincidence, all right? It's the same global memory from the Atlantean period before the flood. Everything that's been uncovered underground, everything, all of it, okay, worldwide, these underground cities beneath Egypt, the Dulce base, all the other deep underground military bases, Peru, Antarctica, Asia, everywhere in the world, all these secret tunnels and all these underground cities that have been discovered, and the story of Aleister Crowley summoning this spirit in the pyramid, it's all part of the same exact story. And what story is that that they've been hiding from us for so long? Well, let's just connect all the dots clearly. Thousands of years ago, in the days of Noah, okay, fallen angels descended from heaven. They took wives, they took human wives, and they made babies with them. They gave birth to giants, And these giants are called the Nephilim. This is documented in Genesis 6. It's also documented other places, but you don't need to look outside the Bible to find this. The main thing is, guys, these weren't fairy tales. These were real, powerful, massive beings who corrupted humanity. They spread violence, they spread forbidden knowledge, they gave technology to people. Every single ancient culture on Earth tells similar stories of these powerful beings that came from above, and some of them actually came from below. And they were teaching humanity, you know, all these secret sciences and building structures, impossible structures, mind you. And guess what their ancient capital is? Yeah, we talked about it before. It's Atlantis. The Empire of Atlantis is the same as the Empire of the Gods, which is the same as the days of Noah. And we believe that the days of Noah, these weren't gods, okay? These are fallen angels appearing to be gods. Humans, when they see these fallen angels and when they see the Nephilim that were created by the fallen angels, they revered them as God. They worshiped them and they did whatever they wanted. They even allowed themselves to be corrupted. They allowed themselves to be subjugated and enslaved by them. For what reason? Well, because they wanted the knowledge, they wanted all the superpowers, and they wanted all these crazy things that the fallen angels were giving them. But here's the thing, guys. The Lord God, the Most High, the creator of the universe, he wouldn't tolerate this corruption. And the Bible clearly describes a great flood, a worldwide catastrophe that was specifically sent to wipe out the fallen angels, the Nephilim, and destroy their empire and cleanse the earth from this demonic infestation. Atlantis, all these giant cities, all these underground bases were buried permanently, right? But we'll get into that in a second. All their Cyclopean monuments, all of it was swallowed by the waters. It was destroyed. It was obliterated. But here's where it gets even crazier, because the Bible also says that Nephilim were on the earth before the flood and after the flood. So that means some of them survived. And when you take into account the words of Jesus Christ himself, who said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, meaning that his second coming will be marked by a return of the days of Noah, a return of this empire of the gods. The earth will be fully transformed like it was back then into a new version of that right before his second coming. And do you think it's any coincidence that we're seeing the inklings of this happening right now? All these new discoveries, all these new ancient buildings, even what Aleister Crowley did, bringing this ancient knowledge into the forefront of human culture, and now having this days of Noah attitude, this mindset of do as thou will, overtaking the world itself, is really, to me, it's pointing that we are getting closer and closer to that time. Now, we're not there yet. I think there has to be a long way to go before we get to the point where we are at the days of Noah, but we're seeing it happening right before our very eyes. And here's where it gets even crazier, guys. Before this destruction, before the flood hit, the Book of Enoch and other ancient sources talk about the pillars of Enoch. Now, that's a whole nother rabbit hole, but in my opinion, the pillars of Enoch could be the Great Pyramids themselves. And what were they meant to do, these pillars of Enoch? Well, according to the text, the pillars of Enoch were built to preserve the ancient knowledge because the fallen angels, some of them, knew the flood was coming. So what did they want to do? They wanted to preserve their society. They wanted to preserve some of the knowledge in this pillar of Enoch so that when the flood hits, it will still be there to be accessed, right? And that's exactly what we see. That's what we see under the pyramids right now, right? If this pillars of Enoch was the Great Pyramid, you would expect there to be some sort of ancient knowledge, some sort of ancient mysteries that are buried underneath it, which we're seeing exactly that come to the surface right now. And when you take into account, as we talked about, the Aleister Crowley situation, yes, the pillars of Enoch do seem to be the Great Pyramid, and it does seem that Crowley knew this and was able to access some of this knowledge, right? So do you think it's possible, given all this information, that the pillars of Enoch are the Great Pyramids and what's buried underneath it, and is that exactly what we're being shown right now in this discovery? I think it is, because even after the flood destroyed this demonic empire, some remnants of this empire, it survived underground. You got massive hidden cities, these underground tunnels, these deep underground military bases, and all these different structures that are buried beneath the sands, the ice, the rock, and seemingly under hundreds of thousands of feet of solid rock. It's also why every single culture worldwide remembers the Great Flood. They remember the giants. They remember the underground cities and the underground worlds. They're calling these real events a global memory of the ancient Atlantean Empire that was wiped clean by God's judgment. And these New Agers, they're desperate to get it back. because they long for the day when they can have this ancient, powerful technology back in their hands. They long for the day when the fallen angels, or what they call the gods of the nations, are back in control of the world. That's what they want. That's what their goal is. And that's what they're aiming for, okay? And this is exactly why the elites, the mainstream, and you know, academia as a whole are covering up and hiding these discoveries. Because acknowledging that these facts are true will prove the Bible right. And it will bring people to God. They don't want these secrets exposed, you know? They don't want the connections to Aleister Crowley's satanic rituals and the demonic entities that still guide their actions today exposed. Some of these groups, they worship the same exact dark powers that were around back then. The Nephilim are the demons. When the Nephilim were all killed in the flood, guess what? Their bodies were killed, but their spirits survived. And these are the demons of the world. And that's why these occultists do these rituals to contact the demon, because they're worshiping the Nephilim. They view these demons as positive because they see them as the Nephilim overlords of the ancient times, and they want to get that knowledge back. That's exactly the reason why people worship demons. It's all connected, everything. They want to push humanity back toward a new Atlantis, the new global empire of the gods. They want darkness to take over the land once again, okay? So it's easy to see how all this stuff is connected. These events aren't separate. They're all connected. It's one giant story, and the story isn't done yet. We still have some time to go, but if you can recognize what's happening and connect the dots with everything else and see the big picture that's taking place right under our very noses, well, you're going to be better off than most people. So I want to know what you think about this. Please put your comment down below. Please hit the like button and please subscribe so you don't miss any other videos. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for watching this, and God bless you all.